Lekuta Sichas Chelik Yudalad, Parsha Veschanan, Sicha Aleph. This Sicha is also a Siyum of Masechta Shabbos. Bekesher L'dinis Shabbos, in regards to the Dinim of Shabbos, Sheshmira Shabbos Yachas Me'aseres Adibiris, and the connection to Veschanan is because the Aseres Adibiris are in Parsha Veschanan, and Shabbos is one of the Aseres Adibiris. Issa b'Mishnah, it says in the Mishnah b'Siyum Masechta Shabbos at the very end of Shabbos, u'ma'isa b'yimei oviv shol Reb Tzadok u'b'yimei aba shol ben Botnis, and that once happened in the times of the father of Reb Tzadok and the times of aba shol ben Botnis, shepokaku es hamor, that they plugged a window, the tfiach, with an earthenware jar, the kosher es hamakida, and they tied this jar, begemi, with a reed. Leida im yesh begigas b'seich tefach im loy, to know if there is an opening the size of a tefach in the barrel. What does this mean? There was a story. There is a halacha. Actually, let's start with the story. There was once two homes which were very close to each other and separated by a narrow alleyway. On top of the alleyway, covering the alleyway, meaning from one roof of the house to the other, there was a barrel that was across the from one roof to the other, so it created a roof over the alleyway in that section. Under the roof, under that barrel, there was a person that was dying. He was very close to dying. And there were two windows open from each house, from one house, there was an open window to the alleyway. If that person dies under the barrel, which is creating a roof, the tumah, it will create an oil ha-tumah, because when there's a dead body under a roof, everything under that roof becomes tummy. Not only that, but the tumah would extend into the window, into the house, which was adjoining that alleyway. In the barrel, however, there was a crack. The barrel had like sort of a break in it, which they weren't sure about the size of that break. If that break would be a tefach wide, a full tefach, you could fit a tefach into it, a fist into that hole, then the tumah escapes through that hole, and it wouldn't extend into the window into the house. So first what they did was, they put an earthenware jar, which is a kli cheres. A kli cheres only becomes tamei from the inside, and therefore if you put it with the bottom of the kli cheres facing the alleyway, the tumah cannot penetrate the kli cheres, the earthenware jar, and therefore it would act as a plug for the window, that the tumah cannot enter the window should that person die. Then they went and they measured, they wanted to see if the crack in the barrel was a tefach wide. So what they did was they took a reed and they tied it to a jar, which was a tefach, and they lowered it to the barrel to see if it would fit into that hole. If it would fit into that hole, it means that the opening is a tefach, and therefore the tumah will escape through there, and they can remove the plug of the window. They can take away that jar of the window because the tumah is escaping through the opening on top. That's what they did. So from these words, from that story, we learn shepoikikim, that you can. It's permitted to plug a hole, a window, with a jar on Shabbos, umaydidim, and that you could measure, because they were measuring the hole in the barrel to see if there was a tefach opening, and kaishrim, and you're allowed to tie because they tied the reed to that jar so that they could lower it and see if it fits into the hole. So they did three things which are questionable whether you can do it on Shabbos or not obvious they can do it on Shabbos. From that story we know that you can do all those three things. Limdeit Shabbos mutter lifkeik es achalein. In other words, that on Shabbos you're allowed to plug the window of with that jar, even though that might be similar to building. Limdoid, you're allowed to measure. Velikshir, kesher shedig, shlokayom, and you're allowed to tie a knot which is not a permanent knot. So that's what the Mishnah says at the end of Masechet Shabbos. Well, the Gemara Sham, in the Gemara, mevur derak medida shel mitzvah muteris, that when we say that you're allowed to measure on Shabbos, it means only a measurement which is needed for a mitzvah. But stam, just in general, to measure for not associated with a mitzvah, you're still not allowed to do. The chemin gaelik shira, same also is true for tying a knot which is not permanent. Mefurid b'shulchan aruch. Shulchan Aruch explains Shirak Lutzerich Mitzvah Mutalikshir Kesher Uman, that it's only for the needs of a mitzvah that you're allowed to tie a professional knot, She'ena Shulkayama, which is not a meant to be a permanent knot, only for a mitzvah. Ula Benegeel Pkika, but in regards to closing a window, closing up a window with something, Mavur B'Taisa Sham, Taisus there says, that can be done even if it's not for the need of a mitzvah. So we have to understand about this Gemara, about this Mishnah. Hatama shaseder ba Mishnah hu peikikim b'achakachu meidim b'kayshrim. The reason that the Mishnah lists first that you can close up a window, then it says you can measure and you can tie. Yeshlein, why did the Mishnah do it list it in that order? Yeshleima, we can say bepashtus for simple reason. They dekach have uvda because it was following the events of the story. Shemetchila pakugus amor. First, when they were not sure if the person would die, they closed up the window. Va'achakach koshru umadudu, and then they tied a reed to the jar that they were lowering umadudu, and they measured the break, the opening in the barrel. But if this is the reason that the order of the Mishnah is based on the events in the story, should have said first, you can tie and then you can measure, because the tying of the reed, because first they tied the reed to the jar that they were lowering, and only after that, through the lowering of the jar, were they able to measure the opening in the barrel. So then the order that the Mishnah should have said would be first tying and then measuring. But the order that the Mishnah actually says is you can plug, you can measure, and you can tie, reversing the last two events. And if you'll say that the reason that the peikikim, the plugging of the hole, comes first, is not because this was the order of the events, but also mipnei haklal hamuva medivir taisus, because of the rule which we know from taisus, shevishtei tevis haseidru zu ve'ein sarach lemazu, that when there are two words following each other, which represent two novel dinim. This might be different if there were two sentences and so on, but when there are two words following each other, which each one represents a novel din, the order should be, you go with the most novel, the most chiddush, the greater chiddush. Zu v'ein tzarich lemazu, which means this you can do, and needless to say, the lesser novelty. So you go with the greater novelty first, and then the lesser novelty. But and therefore we can understand that first you teach the din which has a greater chiddush. Therefore, the first halacha that the Mishnah wants to list is that you can plug a hole, because that is a very novel din. Why? And said that since they even something which is similar to building, which is a very, that's close to a violation of Shabbos, more, as he'll show, than the other two things. And since they allowed it anyway, Harei Muchrach, therefore it's clear, we must say, Shezo B'chol Oifen, that this applies to any case. It doesn't have to be necessarily in connection with a mitzvah. Gam shulelo tzarech mitzvah. The mishum mitzvah lehave matirim kemevur b'taisis, because just because you need to do a mitzvah, if there was a problem with plugging a hole because it's similar to building on Shabbos, they wouldn't allow that, even in the case of a mitzvah. So from the fact that they did allow it, it means that they don't consider it to be enough of a problem, and therefore it can be done even when it's not for the purpose of a mitzvah. So therefore, this is a greater chiddush, that you can do this even when it's not in connection with a mitzvah. Masha'en kemedidah v'kshira. Whereas when it comes to the other two, which are the measuring and the tying, she'tiru rak l'tzarech mitzvah, which they ultimately only permitted for the needs of a mitzvah, canal, as he mentioned before, tam ze einishayich l'akdomas, and that's the reason why peikikim comes first, because that's the most novel din of these three. That's why it comes first. But if that was the reason, this reason doesn't apply to the following two, to Meidid and Mekashrim, the Chiddush Din Shebishneim Shava, because between Meidid and Mekashrim, it's at least a similar Chiddush between the two of them. Both of them are only in the case of a mitzvah. And since there is no greater Chiddush in the measuring halacha, it would make more logical sense that the Mishnah should choose what happened first in the events. So therefore, Kshira Kedun LeMedina, it should have written the tying Chiddush before the measuring Chiddush. Since there is no greater Chiddush between the two, so they're both equal, so then you should go with the events. Even though Paikikim is a greater Chiddush, and that's why it should come first. So it still doesn't answer the question of why the two following, the two, second and third, are reversed in order of how they happen. Va'adarabah. And to the contrary, one would say, L'chayra behetad d'kshira yesh chiddush yaisim behetad d'medida. That there is even a greater chiddush in the tying halacha than there is in the measuring halacha. Because isa medida v'shabbos u'mepnei shuhu ma'isa chayl v'zulzul shabbos. The reason why you're not allowed to measure has nothing to do with it being a malacha or similar to a malacha. It's just that it is something which shouldn't be, it's not shabbistic. It's something which is more fitting for something you do in the weekday, and therefore it's in some way an insult, sort of a depreciation of Shabbos by doing it on Shabbos. Mashen kenisa kshira, but when it comes to the tying halacha shel kesha she'ena shel kayama, when we talk about tying even a knot which is not permanent, humitam uba'ifim shemedivus seifim nikuzei gam ken shel kayama. That is only for the because midrabanan, at least they consider it to be somewhat permanent, as I'll explain. Behind nubekeshu daima lekshira deiraisa, which means that it is in some way similar to a kesher, which is osim deiraisa. I'll take a moment to explain a little bit about the three different categories. The isa deiraisa of tying a knot or untying a knot on Shabbos is a kesher shel kayama, which means a permanent knot. If you plan to leave, it's a professional knot which will hold, and you plan to leave it there forever, for as long as this rope or whatever it is remains. You don't plan it to untie the knot. That's called a kesher shel kayama, and that is also medayraisa. That's a Torah prohibition to tie on Shabbos. What happens if somebody ties a knot which is professional? It's a good knot, but he plans to untie it soon. How soon is another question. But he plans to tie it some time in the future. He doesn't plan to leave it forever. That's called only midrabanan akesha shel kayama, because it's similar to, it's going to be there for a while. So maybe not forever, but for a while. So midrabanan, that's called akesha shel kayama. Then there is, if you plan to untie it today, you're only tying it very temporarily, you plan to untie it today. That is mutter. If you don't do a professional knot, you can do that on Shabbos l'chatchila. That's the general principle, even though there are many more details. So a permanent knot, which is a permanent knot midrabbanan, is very similar to a permanent knot midrashis. only different in that you plan to untie it at some time in the future, whereas Midaraisa, you plan to leave it forever. So therefore, this is already the Isser of tying is very similar to an Isser Deiraisa, whereas the Isser of measuring has nothing to do with the Malacha, it's just that it doesn't seem the appropriate thing to do on Shabbos. Valpiza, so therefore the Chiddush of tying is a greater Chiddush, so it would seem that it should have come first, before, based on the same rule of Tosfos, that the greater Chiddush should be written first, so it should have been written first. Valpiza, Pashut Yosef, Lesem Medivis Seifim, Kshira Adoyim Lumlacha Deiraisa, saying what I said by heart already. And therefore, it would seem more simple, more obvious, that something which is also midirabbanan, the tying, which is also because it's similar to a Torah prohibition, then the measuring, which is only something which is not appropriate for Shabbos, but not because it's similar to a malacha. And therefore, when they permitted both of those things, at least in the context of a mitzvah, so therefore there's a greater chiddush in allowing the tying of a knot, which is similar to a malacha, than there is to allow you to measure. Therefore it should have written, first the tying and then the measuring. So we're back to the same question. The Yuvanze calls the Bahaktim. So all this will be understood by first explaining Mashashanina Bethilis Mesechta Shabbos, something which is written at the beginning of Shabbos. Shemalacha Seitza Eina Asurim Deiraisa. The Mishnah at the beginning of Shabbos tells us that there is, when we're talking about transporting something from a Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, or the opposite, from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, the malacha of transporting is made up of three components. You have to lift up the thing, that's called an akira. You have to transport it from one rishus to the other, from one domain to another, which is called haitzah. And then you have to make a hanocha, you have to place it down. Only those three things together comprise the malacha of haitzah. And right at the first Mishnah in Shabbos, that you're only chayiv midiraisa, it's only also midiraisa to do a to transport haitzah, is only if you do akira, you pick it up and you put it down. But if somebody did only, he picked it up, transported it, but he didn't place it down. For instance, somebody took it out of his hand, so he didn't place it down, somebody lifted it out of his hand. Or the opposite, if somebody placed it into his hand and he brought it out and then he put it down, so all he did was transport it and put it down, but he didn't pick it up. Then it's only us midarabbanan. And it's well known, the question that is asked about this, why shouldn't it be prohibited even min haTorah just to pick it up and transport it without putting it down, or to put it down, transport it and put it down without picking it up? Why would it be also min haTorah mitam chatzi shir? Because this is, you're doing half of the amount of the malacha, of what the malacha comprises. Shu also min haTorah, we know that chatzi shir, doing half of the amount that the Torah prohibits, is also Asim Deiraisa, even though you're not Chayiv. And this is true even in regards to the Malachas of Shabbos. It's so, like, let's say, to give a simpler example, it's prohibited to write on Shabbos, and the amount that the Torah says that you would be Chayiv is if you wrote two letters. But what happens if somebody writes only one letter? That's also Asim Deiraisa, because that's half of the Shir. And half of the shir is also asim deraisa, even though you're not chayiv. So why shouldn't an akira alone with a haitzah be asim deraisa? But we say no, it's only asim derabbanan. Umavur b'yishuv hadavar, and it's explained in answer to this question, al pi adiyuk, Badgoshes aloshen dahai klolo gufa, by looking at the specific wording that is used in this isur that chatzi shir also min atayra. Ha isur min atayra dafke b'chatzi shir. When is it also min atayra if you do half the amount of the malacha, like writing one letter instead of two? When it's only lacking, when it's missing only the amount of what you did in regards to the sizav, but if you fundamentally did something different in the malacha, not just that you're missing an amount of something, but you changed the fundamental type of a malacha that you did, but if it's missing in the type of isur that you did, lo yasur teira, then the teira doesn't prohibit it. And therefore, what does this have to do with here? V'cheinu menidin didan, which is true in our case, she'akira aya hanocha levada, when you talk about an akira alone or a hanocha alone, hareim chatzi malacha v'loi chatzi shir, then you're doing only half of what makes up the malacha. A malacha of transporting only becomes a malacha if you pick it up, take it out, and put it down. But if you only pick it up and take it out, it's not that you're missing an amount. It's that you're missing a part of the malacha, an essential part of the malacha. Chatzi be'eichus v'gidir mahutz pu'ula etzah. You're not just missing, you're missing a fundamental difference in how you did your malacha. V'lechein asurim min ha'Torah, and therefore that the Torah doesn't prohibit. If you change the malacha, only if you change the amount. V'yashleimash al derazu gamanei keilik shira. And one could say that this similar way you can say about tying. Even a knot which is not meant to be permanent, if it's you don't complete what the malacha is by leaving it forever. Maisa uman, or as it's known, a professional knot, only a knot which is meant to be professional, which means permanent in this case. Because as the wording in this is said, that it's only considered a kesher shokayama if he plans to leave it for however long this could remain. Whatever the lifespan of this rope is, he plans to leave it tied. But since he doesn't, so yesh lahakshes lama lo yiyye is asur min ha'Torah mitam chatzi shir. You can ask the same question. Why shouldn't it be asur min tzad chatzi shir? So you tied it and it'll stay for a month instead of for 10 years. So it's a chatzi shir. It's a part of the shir. You're only missing whatever, 10 years on it, but you did the knot. Vatiritzu, but now that we understand the difference by haitzah, why that's not considered a chatzishir, we can apply the same reasoning here. Al derech hanal, we could answer in the same way as we did by Yitzah. Ein ze chatzishir b'kamusa shalom alocha. It's not a chatzishir because the permanence, the non-permanence of the knot is not that it's just missing a certain amount of the malocha. Ki im chatzi malocha, because what you did was only half of a malocha, like by the Yitzah. You're missing something fundamental in how to define this malacha. Because the intent of leaving it there forever, the knot, that is what makes up a professional knot, that you plan to leave it forever. And if you don't plan to leave it forever, then you haven't really made a proper knot. Therefore, the Torah doesn't prohibit a knot which is not made to stay forever, and therefore it's not chatzishir. So that explains the idea of tying a permanent knot. But based on this, we have to understand. When you do haitzah and you do only an akira anocha shasur midah v'seifim, which then is only also midah rabbanon, lo matzinu shiyis yatiru l'tzarech mitzvah. We don't find that you're allowed to do an akira and a haitzah since it's only Asim and the Rabbanon, that in the Tzairich Mitzvah, when you need it for a mitzvah, you're allowed to do that. We don't find such a heter. To the contrary, Mavur b'Mefarshim, it's explained, Shetatam Masha Shonu Chachamim in Shnosan, Reish Masechta Shabbos, Hadin Da'itzah Ba'oni Ba'ashir. The Mefarshim explained, the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Shabbos, in order to describe the different Haitzah, Achnosa, Akira, Ahanocha, it describes it in terms of the wealthy man, meaning the person inside the house, who is giving something to the poor man who is outside the house. So the man inside is doing Haitzah, he's sending it outside. The poor man outside can stick his hand inside, or he can take it out of the wealthy man's hand. That's how all these differences are described. Akira without Hanocha, Hanocha without Akira, both Akira and Hanocha, or even if one of them did nothing. The poor man just stuck his hand inside, took it out of the hand of the wealthy man, brought it outside and put it down. Then he did the whole Malacha, and so on. But why use the terms the poor man and the wealthy man? And the Mefarshim answer, the reason that he phrases it in that kind of reference is b'chtei lahayreis, to teach us the gam haitzad and the sinus tzedakim ha'ashir la'ani asura, that even when we're talking about a person giving charity to a poor man, he needs to eat on Shabbos, it's still prohibited to do it in a way which is only an akira or only an anocha. In other words, you're not allowed to do this even though it's only asim the rabbani, you're not allowed to do it even as a mitzvah. Akira yanocha levadim divis seifrim. Maishno chatzi melechas akshira. So then why is there a difference between when we describe the isser of tying, the melacha of tying, that the one that's midrabanan is only considered a half a melacha, just like haitzah v'achnasa. So then why is that permitted in the context of a mitzvah, but haitzah v'achnasa is not permitted in the context of a mitzvah? Uvatam achilag yesh leimar. So to explain the difference, one could say after shneim asurim deviseifrim, even though both of them are asur mederabbanon mikol makom ein tama iser shava, the reason for the iser is not the same. Tama iser haitzah ba'kirayam nochal levad, the reason that the rabbanon prohibited doing haitzah which only has a kira or a hanocha, the reason they prohibited that is because it's very easy, if you're planning to only pick it up and let the other person take it out of your hand as you stick it out of the window, it's easy to forget and to put it down too. So then you have done a complete malacha, or the opposite. However the arrangement is, it's easy to fall into doing the complete malacha. And therefore, they said you shouldn't do it even halfway. This fits into the category of those prohibitions that the Rabbanan imposed, that it could lead you to doing a malacha, which the penalty of which is skila. Whereas the reason why the Rabbanan prohibited tying a knot which is not meant to be permanent, the reason there is l'fiyishu medivisayfim nikre zeh gam kein shol kayama, because they, the chachamim, decided to call this also to some degree kayama, that it is has a certain permanence. Hayo va'emid l'skayim ezizman, because you intend to leave it for a certain period. Hayinu shu mesugam alachas she'asa chachamim b'nei shem daimim l'malachas. Therefore, this fits into the category of those prohibitions that the Chachamim imposed, because they are similar to Iser Deiraisa. Not because you may end up doing an Iser Deiraisa, but rather because it won't lead to that. It's only because it's similar, it looks like an Iser Deiraisa. So there's a very big difference. Umikiven she Yisura shom alechas hakshira she'ena Shabbos shokayama, and since in connection with the prohibition to tie a knot which is not meant to be permanent, it's not because they're afraid that this may lead you to actually do a full-fledged malacha, Elarak mipnei shadei meilu melacha dei raisa, only because it's similar to melacha dei raisa. Hari bazei yesh makam lechalek v'loimar, therefore there's a good reason to say that the shayne b'makam sheyesh eizu tzerech mitzvah, therefore they allowed it, they permitted it, that where it's in the context of a mitzvah, it's not that they're afraid that you're going to end up doing a melacha, it's just that it's similar. So within the context of a mitzvah, they decided to permit it. But when we talk about the melacha of Eitzah, which only you're planning to do it only with a hakira or a anocha, which could lead, chas v'sholem, that you should actually end up doing a full-fledged melacha min ha-Torah. Over there, they were not willing at all to permit it, even in the context of a mitzvah, because this could lead to an actual violation min ha-Torah of Shabbos. So that's the difference between the tying, where they permitted it in the context of a mitzvah, and the haitzah v'achnasa by only an akira or only a hanocha. But this in itself needs to be explained. Why didn't they make this kind of a gzeira by a kesher she'eino shel kayama, by a knot which is not meant to be permanent, since it is in fact a half a malacha? Sharei makam lachshayish. Why didn't they say, well, you intended to make it a kesher she'eino shel kayama, that's not permanent, but maybe you'll end up leaving it permanently, and therefore maybe they should be prohibiting tying a knot which is not meant to be permanent, because you may end up leaving it permanently, and therefore it will become a full-fledged malacha, and therefore for that reason they shouldn't even allow it in the context of a mitzvah. You could even apply a kal v'chomer. Im gozru ba'akira ayanoch levada, because if they prohibit it, where you're only actually doing a part of the malacha, like only picking it up or only putting it down, and the only thing that could actually turn this into a full-fledged malacha would be that you would have to actually do something proactively in addition to what you plan to do. You would have to either also do a hanocha or also do an akira. So that's an additional act that you have to do. Anicha achrei akira, like placing it down after you did the akira, or you only intended to do anocha, now you're going to have to do an akira before that. Those are proactive things. So then how much more so that they should have made the same gzeira by a knot which is not meant to be permanent, that in order that it should become a full-fledged isim in atayra, einu chaser el adash, yisharkin la'ilam. Only the changing your mind. Oh, yeah, you know what? Let's leave it permanently. Now it becomes a malacha midei raisa. So you didn't even have to do anything. All it did was take a change of your attitude, and already it becomes a malacha midei raisa. So why didn't they taka impose their prohibition just like they did, that even in the context of a mitzvah, you shouldn't be permitted to tie a knot which is not permanent. So to explain this, to explain why is it that the Torah only prohibits a knot which is going to be permanent. One could say the reason is, the idea of what is being accomplished through tying, you take two separate bodies and you turn them into one, like chutin, two threads or whatever it is. And you cannot call it a true, that you truly made one body out of two separate bodies. When can you call it that it became one body? Only if it is meant to stay that way permanently. V'hainu shadash shiyir kesher shel kayama hutnai b'melechas hakshira. In other words, the intention that it should remain permanently that way is what makes it a kesher, is what makes this malacha a malacha. If it's not meant to be remain that way, then you didn't really bring together two separate bodies, because they're going to come apart again. So it's only a malacha if it's meant to stay that way. And therefore, if he only intended to tie it together for a certain period, and then he plans, he intends to untie it again, even when they are attached, it's not really attached, because they're not going to stay that way. So they're not really attached at all, even now. And therefore, even now, when they are together, they're not really tied together. It's only temporary. This is not the type of bringing together that the Torah prohibited. Well, Pizei Yuvan. So based on this, we can understand Shabilad Adash Yiskaima Kesher, without the original intent that this knot should be permanent, it's not that you're missing some detail in the malacha. Is it going to stay permanently? Is it going to stay only temporarily? And therefore, there, it's like a certain amount of the malacha is missing. You're missing the very fundamental idea of tying, which is bringing together two separate bodies. And if they're only together, they're only meant to be together temporarily, then they're not really together, so you haven't done anything. Because the two threads that you tie together are not really together at all, truly. You could call it, let's say, that you brought together, close together, they're touching, two pieces of thread are touching, but they're not attached because they're not going to remain that way. And since, if they're not meant to remain that way permanently, it doesn't rise to the level of this malacha at all. And therefore, since nothing was done in a certain sense, they didn't aser it that you may come to do the full malacha. If you haven't done any of it, to say that you might do all of it. Nothing was done at this point, so therefore, there is the chachamim, at least in the context of the mitzvah, did not prohibit doing something which doesn't constitute this malacha at all. So the reason that they prohibited it at all was because in some way it is similar to the malacha of tying, because it looks like you tied two things together, but since you didn't intend for them to stay together, they're not tied together really. It only seems that way. And therefore, since it's not that they're afraid that this will end up being something, a real malacha, because it's not at all a malacha, therefore it's not a gezeira, and within the context of a mitzvah, they did permit it. Whereas when we talk about the prohibition of etzah, which is done only through an akira or anocha, definition of this malacha is bringing something from one rishus to another, whether it's bringing it in or bringing it out, from one rishus to another, which includes a number of details. One of them is akira, one of them is anocha. There are details in what makes up this malacha. So now when you're missing in the carrying out of this malacha one of those details, since now it does not constitute this malacha in any way, because it hasn't, even though it's not really doing the full malacha, as he explained before, that it's not just a question of the amount, it's a question of the definition of the malacha has not been met. But the part that you did do was fully a part of what that malacha is. Like, let's say, picking up and bringing out is what is those two parts of that malacha of Haitzah. So you did fully do part of that malacha. And therefore, in that case, the Chachamim were right to prohibit doing any part of it, even though you didn't plan to do the whole thing, because the part that you did do is the part of the Malacha that is fully that part, as opposed to by the tying, when you don't plan to leave it permanently, that is not called tying at all. You didn't do any part of the Malacha. And therefore, because what you did do, you did fully what is makes up that malacha, those parts that you did do. So even though you didn't do the whole malacha, but since it could lead to doing the whole malacha, so therefore the Chachamim were right to make the gzeira even in the place of a mitzvah. The Mishnah of this explains why, based on this explanation, we can understand why in the Mishnah first he lists Maididim, the measuring, and only after that he lists the tying. Nizbar Le'el, we explained before, Shabikshiras Kesha She'enishal Kayama, that when one ties a knot which is not meant to be permanent, Shasrua Chachamim Ein Shum Chelik Memalechas Akshira Deiraisa, which the Chachamim asked, but it doesn't contain any part of what the Torah prohibits, because the Torah only prohibits when it's going to be bringing together two foreign bodies, which was not accomplished at all if it's not meant to be permanent. And the reason the Chachamim prohibited it only because it's similar to a malacha minatayra. In other words, the prohibition isn't because of what you're doing by tying, because you're not really tying. It's only that it can be compared. You can see it as being similar to the actual prohibition of tying. Malacha asura, which is a malacha, which is also v'lishum shaychus elea, but the tying of a knot which is not permanent is not really similar at all. It's not really the same at all as actually tying a permanent knot. Only that it looks similar. Zaysemeres, in other words, shaluli hadimyan ein tam leisar akshirim tzadatzma. If it had not been similar, there would be no reason to prohibit it at all, since it's not really doing anything which is what the Torah constitutes as tying. Masha enkin, pa'ula samadida, whereas when we talk about measuring, the afal pish ein yisurim etzat shaychas l'malacha asurim in ha-Torah, although the prohibition of measuring is not because it's in any way similar to a iser of minatayra, to a malacha, loy chelik mena v'loy diminela, it's not a part of a malacha, it's not even similar to a malacha, it doesn't come to the issue of a malacha. It's not prohibited because it's in any way resembles a malacha. Ella, rather, why is measuring prohibited? It should call you seidi suruhun rakman derabbanan. The whole principle of not measuring is a purely rabbinic prohibition. It originates from rabbinic prohibition, not because it's similar to a Torah prohibition. Ulam, but on the other hand, mi'idach harei mizeg gufa mochash yisurim mitzad atzma. In other words, that the prohibition of measuring doesn't come because of its similarity to something else. It is in itself prohibited. The Chachamim decided to prohibit measuring. Mitzad pu'ulas hamedida. It's the measuring which is prohibited. This is what's prohibited. Shehu ma'isachel v'zul b'Shabbos. And the reason, of course, is because it is not befitting to be done on Shabbos. But it is the prohibition of measuring itself which is prohibited. Not because it's similar to a Torah isur. not because it resembles a malacha, but this is what's prohibited. So for this reason, it makes more sense than when we talk about measuring, which has at least that quality, that it's what this is what the Chachamim prohibited, measuring. Therefore, there's a reason to say that you should be more stringent with regards to measuring, even more than tying. Because by tying, what's the reason that you're not allowed to tie, that the Chachamim prohibited tying? Because it resembles something else which is similar to tying, to this kind of tying. So therefore, the reason for not tying is because it somehow resembles something which is prohibited. The reason for measuring is prohibited because the Chachamim decided to prohibit measuring, not because it's similar to anything else. Measuring is prohibited in their minds. Therefore, that one could say that there's a greater chiddush in that the Chachamim decided that in the context of a mitzvah you are allowed to measure. So that's a greater chiddush. Therefore, when the Chachamim decided to permit measuring in the context of a mitzvah, there is a greater chiddush, because that is their own prohibition. That is the prohibition which is essentially what is prohibited, not because it resembles something else. And therefore, the Gemara lists the permitted state. That within a context of a mitzvah you're allowed to measure, based on what the Tosfos said, that the greater chiddush has to be said first. Therefore, the Gemara first tells us that you're allowed to measure, which is a prohibition, which is a full prohibition, not because it resembles somehow something else, which is really not the same at all, but it just resembles it. So therefore, it was more logical to put, based on that Tosfos rule, that the chiddush, the greater chiddush, has to be listed first. Measuring is listed first. Vav, habir al pi pnimis ha'inyanim, lama nishnu gimel inyanim elu ba'seder shel pekikum u'meidim v'keishrim. To explain al pi pnimis, from the inner dimension of chiddush and so on, what is the order of plugging, measuring, and then tying? By first explaining what the word paikikin means. What is that word? It doesn't say that one may plug. It says one plugs. It doesn't say you're allowed to plug. It says one plugs, as if it's something which should be done. It seems as if this is something that should be done. This is something that as constantly has to be done. One plugs. So to explain why that is written in such a way, it explains elsewhere. Why does Masechet Shabbos begin with the prohibition of transporting an object from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim? From all the malachas, why does it start with that one? Because in its spiritual sense, the idea of bringing something from a Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim, or the opposite, it defines the whole concept of Shabbos, what Shabbos is all about. Because when somebody does a malacha, a prohibition of Shabbos, what he ends up doing is taking something from the private domain. What is Rishus HaYochid? Yechidus HaLoylam, the only one in the world, meaning Hashem. You take something out of his domain, something that belongs to Hashem's domain, Kedusha, and you bring it, Lushus HaRabim, you bring it out to the public domain, which is Tura de Pruda, the place of separation, Olam HaKlipas, the world of Klipas. So by violating Shabbos, whatever way you violate it, what you actually did was take something from the presence, from the the context of godliness and brought it out to the place of klipa. And therefore, this idea of Haitzah, bringing something from the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, comes as a general introduction to the whole idea of Shabbos. And the same could be said, is also true, how the Gemara decided to end, or the Mishnah decided to end the Masechta. As we know, everything goes by the conclusion. Everything is invested into the conclusion. Shemavayr Shom Inyan Kloli Hanasal Yedei Klolos Shmiras Shabbos B'chol Peroteru Kedlakamen. Because the end of the Masechta also describes something that is accomplished through keeping Shabbos. That's what we will see from what the words that we use at the end of the Mishnah, the very last Mishnah. Mavur B'kama Mekaymus is explained in a number of places. Hachiluk Shvein Gimel Azmanim the Shabbos. There is a difference between the three periods of Shabbos. Within every day of Shabbos, there are three general periods, which are Maila Shabbata, the Friday night, the evening of Shabbos. Beis is Yom de Shabbata, the day of Shabbos. And Gimel is Ma Mincha Shabbos, the time of Mincha, the very end of Shabbos. Raivim, the Kol Raivim, the time which is called the highest of all the high of the Inyan of Shabbos, as the Zohar describes it. Shabbalel Shabbos hu aliyas ha-malchus mebiyah la-tzilus. On Friday night, Malchus, which is the lowest level, it rises up from its state, from its presence in Biyah, in Bri Yetzira Asiya, which means the created worlds, and it rises up to the level of Atzilus, which is that world which is attached to Hashem Himself. Ki b'yemayis ha-chel yeredes ha-malchus le-biyah. During the week, Malchus lowers itself down into the worlds of Biyah, levara berurim, to work with and to elevate the lower worlds. Okmeshu kosov, ragle yerdis, as it says, its legs go down. In other words, the legs, the very lowest level of Atzilus, which is Malchus, goes down into the worlds of Biyah to work and to elevate and to the worlds of Biyah. Riyitzir asir. Ubelel Shabbos, then when it comes Shabbos, Friday night, he oyle mishom latzilus. It rises back up, back into its place in Atzilus, back into holiness, removed from the worlds. Umekivin sha'olam is makablam misfiras ha-malchus. And since the worlds they receive from Malchus, harei meir oz bebiyah sviras ha-malchus kefishu ba'atzilus. Since ultimately the worlds of Briya, Yetzir, and Asiya, they get their sustenance, their energy from Malchus. So on Shabbos, when they still continue to receive their energy from Malchus, Malchus is now in the world of Atzilus. So therefore, the worlds of Biyah, they are receiving through Malchus from Atzilus. V'achakach b'yoyim de Shabbat, and then during the day of Shabbos, Meir b'china Nailus Yeser, a higher level now descends into the world. B'china Zoh, the level of Zoh, which is the six midas of Atzilus, Chesed, Gvura, Teferes, and so on. From Atzilus, they are mayor, they illuminate the world during the day of Shabbos. V'achakach b'zman raiva deraivin. Then when it comes to the time of the very end of Shabbos, just before the end of Shabbos, u'gili ha-bechinas u'madregish l'mayla mezoh u'malchus. That reveals that level which transcends Zoh and Malchus, the two of them together. And as we know, that it's when something higher illuminates lower levels, that brings together those two lower levels, because the two lower levels only see themselves different in context of each other. But when a higher level is illuminated, then the two of them lose their own individuality and they're able to merge into one. So therefore, Zoh and Malchus merge into one during Raiva de Raivin. V'lachein emin betfilas arvis, which explains why by Ma'ariv of Shabbos we say v'yonuchu vo. In the Elokeinu v'lokei v'seinu tzei novim nuchaseinu, over there we say v'yonuchu vo in the feminine, because on Friday night is Malchus. Malchus is what illuminates the world. Betfilos Shachris, in the morning by Shachris, we say v'yonuchu vay, because Zoh is the masculine, and therefore we address Zoh, which is what's now illuminating the world, vay in the masculine. Betfilos Mincha, By mincha b'yanuchu vam, we say, and during them, which is a plural. Yichud Zohar Malchus, because Zohar and Malchus come together, so we address them as the two of them together, vam. V'hinem, ikivin shevaleil Shabbos yesh aliyas ha'olamos. Since on Friday night there is the world's rise up to Sfiras HaMalchus Meirah B'Biyah Kavishim B'Atzilus, as he described before, it's elevated because now Biyah is receiving through Malchus from Atzilus. L'chem is batlim b'leil Shabbos kol ha'klippas. Therefore, all the klippas of the world are as batl at that time. On Shabbos, the klippas on his battle. B'yemayis ha'chol during the week. Mikivin shemalchus yered levarer birurim shebe'olam is biyah. Since Malchus has to come down into the worlds, into biyah, to elevate and to refine the world. Hareisha klippas yeshlam tfisus makim. So then the Malchus is dealing with those klippas to elevate them, to refine them. So there is a certain presence to a klippa which has to be dealt with. Therefore, the klippa is not completely nisbatel. You have to work with it, you have to transform it, and so on. Mashenkim is Shabbos, whereas when it comes to Shabbos, v'kivin shasfiris ha-malchus, oyla oz batzilus, since the level of malchus now rises up into atzilus, she'em baraklal, where in atzilus there is no evil at all, k'mesh v'kosuv le'yigur chara, as the pasuk says, there is no ra, meaning it's referring to atzilus, as explained. Therefore, the world finds itself Malchus, which is what's energizing the world, finds itself in a world of Atzilus where there is no Ra. So Klippas have no Metzius at all. Amnam Muvim, but it's understood. Shebezeh Aliyas Hamalchus Ubitla Klippas Shayach V'Koshes Zeh B'Midiyadul Avodas Adam. But we understand that in order to bring this about, that the Atzilus should illuminate the world and that there should be no klippa, this depends to some degree on what the Yid, the Jew, did during the week. Malachain, or that the Yid has to be part of it, he has to do his Avodah. Malachain Amar Azal, therefore they taka tell us, Menegeil Avodah B'nei Yisrael, in regards to the Avodah of a Yid, Nasa Shutav L'Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Maisa Bereishis, that when a Yid does his Avodah, and especially Shabbos, you become a partner to Hashem in the creation. In other words, we need to become a partner. We need to do our part. Sham me'abi urim bazeh. One of the explanations about this is al pi maimer azal is based on what our sages tell us. Ruach tzfeinis einem esuveves, that the northern side of the world is not enclosed, is not completed. Hainu. So as far as the creation is concerned, the north side, which represents klippa, north represents klippa, as the pasuk says, mitzav into pasuk hara, from the north will come the evil. It is talking literally about the fact that in Eretz Yisrael, where did the problem start? From the north, from Bodo, from the areas in the north. But in Chassidus, it's explained, in Kabbalah Chassidus, that the north represents Klippa. Pasuachu, it remains open, meaning it's not enclosed, it's not captured yet as the territory of Kedusha. Sheyeshna Mokam L'Klippas, there's a place where Klippa has an opening, where it can exist in the north. Avo B'Shabbos. But then when it comes Shabbos, that went through the Avodah, Malchus rises up, and this does away with any Metzius of Klippa. It's as if we close in and we complete the Esatzad HaTzofein, also the northern side of the world, and therefore it brings completion to creation, that even the north has been closed in and captured under the domain of Hashem. And that's what's meant, that the Yidden become a partner with Hashem, in the creation itself, that through our Avodah we are able to close in the north, do away with Klippa, and that's how we become a partner, because we've also contributed to the perfection of creation. This is accomplished immediately as Shabbos starts, that we immediately are able to do away with klipa, as he said, that this happens through malchus rising up into atzilus. So that's the first stage of Shabbos. Shel avodazu, as a reward for this avodah that we accomplish on Friday night, misalim biyoyim deshabata ledargenai l'sheiser, we rise up to a higher level on the during the day of Shabbos. Legiluya erdezod atzilus. Now we benefit from the level of zav atzilus. V'achkach misalim ayyeser, and then we rise up even higher ad legiluya erdeshalamayla mezav malchus, to a higher level even than Zoh and Malchus of Atzilus, that level which brings together Zoh and Malchus, which brings together Zoh and Malchus. The Zeh Shebesiyim Masechta Shabbos, this explains why at the conclusion of Masechta Shabbos, Hainu Shebesiyim Oshmiris Kol Halachos Masechta Shabbos, meaning when a Yid has completed the entire stretch of Shabbos, from the first Mishnah all the way through the center Mishnahs, down, we're now at the end. We've completed the whole Seder of Shabbos. Shekulam nechlalim bezehiras beisur doitzah shebetchilu masechta kanal, all of which fall under the rubric of what was explained about the first Mishnah of Shabbos, that when the Isser of Shabbos would, chas v'shalom, remove something from the domain of Hashem into Klippa. But when you keep Shabbos, it brings everything from the domain of Klippa into the domain of Hashem. Ba hayda, now the Mishnah lets us know, al gimul ha'aliyish b'schara shalavaydazu. The Mishnah describes to us the seder of how these elevations happen as a reward for our keeping Shabbos and bringing everything under the domain of Kedusha. And these are brought out by these three words of Paikikin and Maidin and Bekaishrim in this particular order. Beleil Shabbos on Friday night, Peilim Aliyas Amalchus Aliyas Ha'ilim Asu Bitla Klippas. The first, on Friday night, we bring about the Aliyas Amalchus, as we said before, which does away with Klippas. Shayideiz Asaismim Apaikim Asachol Deroch Hatzvainis. Through this, we plug up. We close up the opening, the breach, which is found in the north. That's Paikik in the first step. Then we reach the level of Zoh, which, as we said before, is the six Midas of Atzilus, which is brought out by the word Umaydid, the Midas, Shum Melosha Mida, which is from the word Mida. Keloshon Azal, the Midas Adam Maydid, Ba Maydid Imloy, as Azal tell us that the word Mida means in the measure, in the type of behavior, attitude that a person meets out, that's how they meet it out to him. Also, in other words, that it comes from the word mida. V'achakach oilim lebechinas v'kayshrim, and then we rise up to an even higher level, which is v'kayshrim. Shemeira oir shalomayla mizah, at which time that oir, which is even higher than zoh malchus, hamakashereis, and which ties together Zoh and Malchus, and through this we also tie together all the worlds. They all become one big domain under the domain of the Yochid Yechidus Eloilam Hashem. Makashrim Yechidus Eloilam. We tie them together, bring them together with Yechidus Eloilam.